I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
My friend, what a joy it is to welcome you to the Voice of Hope today. It's our privilege to be together and to look into the Word of God. Isn't it wonderful that we have God's book to guide us? Think of where we'd be if God had not spoken into our world. We'd still be in the darkness. You know, the psalmist David expressed his gratitude for the Word of God when he said, "Thy Word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path." So let's worship with the choir as they sing, "Let There Be Light." Thank you, Sharon Singers. What a thrilling message that song has. God has spoken, and we have the light. Amen. You know, that's why we come to you each week with this program, to look into God's Word and discover the light it has for our daily lives. We want to do that again today, but before we do, let's take just a moment and pray and ask God for His blessing on our time together. Heavenly Father, Source of light, we rejoice in the light you have brought to us. We know that in your light is life. And so we turn our faces toward that light because we want to live. Without that light, we stumble in the darkness of despair, and we have no hope. Father, we remember the psalmist said, "The entrance of your word gives light." So it's that light we seek today as we look into your word. Open our spiritual eyes to see what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. An elderly man who lived by the seaside had the practice of walking the beach at dawn. One morning, as he was walking, he saw something in the distance that caught his attention. He couldn't tell exactly what it was, but he kept on walking. After a while, he was able to make out the figure of a person. The person would bend down and then straighten up. He did it again and again. He couldn't figure out the strange series of movements of this person, but he continued walking. Coming closer, he saw a young man, and now he could see what he was doing. Looking around him, the older man saw something that he hadn't noticed before. The tide had gone out, and there were hundreds of starfish lying on the beach. The young man would bend down, scoop up a starfish, and fling it into the water. He did it again and again. Finally, the older man came alongside the younger man and said, "Son, what are you doing?" The younger man replied, "The tide is out, and all these starfish are stranded on the beach. If the sun comes up before they get back into the water, they'll die. I'm helping them get back into the water." The older man laughed condescendingly. "But young man, don't you realize there are miles and miles of beach, and there are starfish all along it? You can't possibly make a difference." The young man listened politely, but then he bent down, picked up another starfish, threw it past the breaking waves into the sea, and said, "It made a difference for that one." You know, my friend, many people think like that older man. There are just too many people in the world to reach them all with the gospel. It's an impossible task. So they don't do anything. In fact, they hardly notice the lost ones around them. But thank God, there are many like the young man, too. And even though they see the same seemingly impossible task, they put their shoulder to the work and get busy. They know they can't reach everyone, but they can touch those God puts within their reach. I invite you to follow me now as I read the scripture. Our text is from Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 17. But I want to begin reading at the beginning of the chapter. That's Romans chapter 10, and I'll begin reading at verse 1. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the goal of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, Say not in thine heart, Who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, we'll be focusing on just a few verses from this chapter, verses 13 through 17. And the title of our message today is taken right from the text, right there in verse 15, the gospel of peace. We want to examine three important ingredients of this gospel of peace. The first ingredient is the universal invitation. Paul's statement in verse 13, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," presupposes that we have an understanding that all the world of mankind is lost. The word save means to make whole, to preserve or protect. Now, obviously, you can't make something whole unless part of it is missing. So the human condition of lostness affects all men everywhere. There are no people anywhere on the face of the earth who are not infected with the disease of sin. Now, I know sociologists and anthropologists and the missiologists have tried to tell us that the gospel must be contextualized in order to be effective. Let me tell you something. One needs to be very skeptical of the ideas of those first two groups, because they class the gospel as, quote, the white man's religion. And they say we are destroying ancient cultures by bringing them the good news. That reminds me of an account I heard of a Western businessman who was visiting the Fiji Islands in the South Pacific. As he was conducting his business there with one of the men from the island, the conversation gradually took a turn to spiritual things. The Western businessman listened for a while, and then he said sarcastically to his client, "You don't believe all that Jesus stuff, do you?" And that native of Fiji looked him calmly in the eye and said, "If I didn't believe in that Jesus stuff, I'd have already bashed your brains out on that rock over there, and they'd be roasting on the fire." You see, before missionaries brought the gospel to him, he was part of a tribe of cannibals. So much for destroying culture. I think we can agree that certain cultures present unique challenges to presenting the gospel. But we must keep in mind the basic principle that Christianity accepts no culture, it creates one. Wherever the gospel has gone and been received by a significant number of persons, it has made a difference in the social, economic, and religious practices of the group or nation. Let me give you some illustrations. Think of William Carey, missionary to India, whose evangelistic work led to the ending of the widespread practice of burning a widow on her husband's funeral pyre. And the missionary work of Gladys Alward helped end the centuries-old custom in China of binding the feet of little girls, leaving many of them deformed or crippled. So we can only conclude that the invitation is universal. None are excluded. That's what motivates us here at Heralds of Hope. We're broadcasting the gospel in 6 major languages of the world. So the first ingredient in the gospel of peace is the universal invitation. The next ingredient is the essential proclamation, and we find that in verses 14 and 15. Now, the question must be raised, how will the invitation be carried to all mankind? Let's just suppose someone mails an invitation to you, an invitation to a birthday party, let's say. But the post office loses it and you never receive it, so you're completely unaware that you've been invited. Now, millions of people the world over have an invitation to believe in Jesus Christ, but that invitation has never been delivered. They can't respond to the invitation with a yes or no because they don't even know that the invitation exists. Now, Paul raises a series of rhetorical questions here in verses 14 and 15. Let's look at them. The first one is, how will they call? The word call means to cry aloud. The scriptures make a clear distinction between a prayer and a cry. Prayer can be silent and effective, but a cry is audible and it demonstrates a desperate need on our part. A cry makes us vulnerable. It shows our helplessness, our weakness. It leaves us open to being exploited or ridiculed or rejected. Will people cry out to someone they know nothing about? Not usually. So people all over the world live with their fears, their heartaches, and their worries all bottled up inside. They have a facade, a false front, that everything's okay. Or, like the Baal worshippers of Elijah's day, they cry to a God who cannot hear or save. In their fear, they try to appease their God. Will they confide in someone whom they don't know? Would you? When you have something that really burdens you down, do you share it with a stranger? Of course not. Only with a trusted friend. The question is, how will they call? And then Paul raises the next one. How will they believe? How will they come to trust in one they've never even heard of? In the fall of 2001, a friend of mine and his family were in China. They met a man, a teacher in one of the public schools, an educated man who had never heard the name of Jesus. Never heard. There are millions more like him all over the world. I'm glad I can tell you that our Mandarin Chinese program is reaching out to some like that teacher. We've had letters from people who were at the point of despair, at the place where they considered taking their own life, and in the process of playing around with the radio dial, accidentally, no, providentially, they came across a gospel program that changed their life. The next question is, how will they hear? How can you respond to something or someone who to you doesn't exist? Someone must take the message to them or they will perish in their sin. How will they hear without a messenger? By the way, Paul uses the word preacher, but it's not the Greek word that's used in the New Testament for pastor or elder. It literally means a herald, a public crier, one who carries a message. Back in 1985, several international broadcast ministries formed an organization known as World by 2000. Their objective was to reach the people of every mega language in the world by the year 2000. At that time, they identified some 160 languages. By the year 2000, more than 90 of those groups had been reached. But with the job unfinished, the organization changed its name to World by Radio, and the task continues today. We're grateful to be a cooperating broadcaster with Transworld Radio, one of those members of World by Radio. And by God's grace and the support of people just like you, we're taking the gospel to the world in 6 major languages. This is how many will hear. And then, how will they be sent? Will anyone go without being sent? One of the men on our board of directors has also served on the voluntary service committee for his church. The committee's responsible to find people to serve in various mission outreaches. He's often spoken about the difficulty in finding people to serve, especially for the long term. Now, that problem isn't unique to any particular denomination. But why is it, when the needs are so great, so few are available to serve? Young people, if you're listening, I challenge you to seriously consider serving somewhere for a year or two at the minimum. It doesn't have to be in some exotic place, a foreign country. It can be right at home. The question is, are you willing? If some of you young people would go to your pastors and say, "What can I do to serve you and the church?" After they pick themselves up off the floor in shock, they'd probably have a list of things you could choose from. And parents, if our children seem hesitant to go and serve, let's not criticize them. Let's look deeper into our own hearts and be honest about what really motivates us. Maybe our children are just following our example instead of our words. Maybe they see our preoccupation with things, or our compromises to get ahead in business, our desire for man's approval as more important than God's. Retirees, I challenge you too. Far too many people with a lifetime of experience and skills are frittering away their time in useless pursuits when mission organizations could benefit greatly from your expertise. I'm not finding fault with older people slowing down. That's normal. That's natural. I'm talking about disconnecting or disengaging from the work God has given us as His children. So the question is, how will they be sent? Jesus commissioned His disciples in Matthew chapter 28. But that commission wasn't just for them. It's for us, too. Jesus said, "As you are going, as you are baptizing, as you are teaching, make disciples of all nations, ethnos, people groups, teaching them to observe the all things I have commanded you. I believe the local church needs to encourage evangelism at home and around the world. Now, formal commissioning services are all right, but we need to be careful not to give the wrong impression that going away to serve is more important than staying at home. This is the essential proclamation. How will they call? How will they believe? How will they hear? And how will they be sent? The final ingredient is the individual consecration. When we understand and believe the universal invitation, when we embrace the necessity of the essential proclamation and carry it out, this results then in the individual consecration. We see it in the lives of those who go with the message and the lives of those who are reached with the gospel. One of the primary testimonies we receive by letter from people who have responded to the gospel mentions peace, especially those who are idol worshipers, because, you see, they live in constant fear of their gods. Their gods are always angry and must be appeased, and one can never be quite sure if they've done enough to be accepted. Try to imagine what peace and joy that must bring, to know that because of Christ, you are accepted by God. Paul says here in verse 15, it is the gospel of peace. And you know what else I've observed? People who are serving God where He has called them have that peace too. But those who are saying, not now, God, no, I'll serve you later, they don't have that peace. It is interesting, as we follow through on these ingredients, that the end result is the same for those who take the message and those who receive it. Peace. There is nothing like seeing the truth of Scripture being fleshed out in the lives of those you're ministering to reinforce your own beliefs. I find it exciting to see people discovering the truth in Scripture, answering their questions, and then helping them make application of that truth to their lives. My friend, you can have that joy too, in your own community, and as God leads you to partner with us at Heralds of Hope. So, if the universal invitation is understood, if the essential proclamation is carried out, it will result in the individual consecration. There is no way it can be otherwise. That is the nature of God's Word. And those are the basic ingredients of the gospel of peace. My friend, where are you? Do you really believe the invitation is universal? Does your lifestyle back up what you say you believe? Do you believe the proclamation is essential, that it must be done by all believers? And finally, have you consecrated yourself individually? Are you willing to say, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go and do what you want me to do? Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to you for providing the gospel of peace for us. We're thankful that the invitation is open to all. None are excluded. We understand that as your children, we are responsible to make the essential proclamation to those who have never heard. We have your command to motivate us and your power to equip us. We thank you that as we individually consecrate ourselves to you, we will experience your presence, your power, and your peace. Thank you for renewing your calling in our lives today. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Rejoice, all peoples of the earth. The word of God dispels our night. He fills our minds with truth and mirth. His gospel brings us into light. All peoples of the earth, rejoice that God, whose word sets all men free, has willed that all who heed His voice shall dwell in perfect liberty. The entrance of Thy word brings light, O God, our Father, Christ, our King. We wait Thy kingdom's splendor bright, as loud our Alleluias ring, as loud our Alleluias ring.
Thank you, men, for that song. It's true, the peoples of the earth should rejoice in the gospel of peace. Well, I've enjoyed having you join me today, and I hope you were challenged by the message. I know I was. Maybe you know someone else who would be challenged or encouraged by this teaching, too. If you do, you can get a copy of today's message to share with them. Just ask for it by its title, The Gospel of Peace, and it's available to you either in print or on an audio CD. Now, the easiest way for you to contact us is by using our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or you can mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. You can also log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to this teaching at your convenience. And we also encourage you to visit our Facebook page. You can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony there. And it's also an easy way for you to send a message to us, and we'd love to hear from you. Now, once again, you can contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. And remember to request an audio or printed copy of this teaching, The Gospel of Peace. Now, if you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at our website, heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. Truly, it is God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, that will enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, I hope you'll join me next week for the Voice of Hope, and until we meet again,
there's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves and the light, and the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save.
Send the light,
send the light,
send the light.
We will spread
the everlasting light
with a willing heart and hand.
Giving God
the glory evermore,
we will follow His command.
Send the light,
the blessed gospel light.
Let it shine
from shore to shore.
Send the light,
and let its radiant beams
light the world,
forevermore.
Let us not grow weary in the work of love.
Send the light,
send the light.
Let us gather jewels for a crown above.
Send the light.
We will spread
the everlasting
light with a wing.